So welcome to today's NEPT open coaching call. And this is a chance where you can ask any type of question you would like. As I mentioned, not on the recording, but Dr. Rita Marie is in Hawaii. And so especially with the potential of a hurricane, she wants to preserve her internet and electricity. So she may pop on here and there, because you know she's our caretaker, she's our mama bear. But you know, she asked if I could be here and help guide you guys along, so that if you have any questions that I can help you with or answer. So
I have a question.
All right. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Lynn. Yeah, I was wondering about that hurricane over there. Swoop down on her. Keep good thoughts for her. Yes. I have a question. You might be able to answer for me. The other day in just conversation of a friend was saying something about, oh, you know, I know about this nutrition, and I had adrenal fatigue for about 3 years and finally got with someone and doing the DHEA and the pregnant alone. And she says, you know, but after all this time, it's kind of a hassle to keep doing this. And I said, well, how long have you been continuing with the pregnant alone and DHEA? Oh, it's almost going on 2 years. And I tried not to look, you know, surprised or shocked, but what are the bad parts of that? I have an opportunity to talk to her again, see if I can encourage to work with her, but what are the side effects of this?
Well, when's the last time she retested? I'm assuming she tested beforehand to find out which stage of adrenal fatigue she's in, and then to take those, has she retested?
Right. They retested, I think she said 3 or 4 months after she started, and she still needed a little help, but then she lost contact with this person. She said, I just feel good when I take it, so I'm just still taking it.
Okay. Well, that would be the first thing to do is just, yeah.
Just retest.
Just got to retest to find out. You know, you've probably heard Dr. Rita Marie's vitamin D story with somebody
right.
She saw once.
It's yeah. Right. That was my first thought. Was, whoa, all this time.
And not to know. See, that's the big thing. I was just speaking with somebody this afternoon who is on an estrogen patch. She's been on this patch for about 3 years. No, it's a long time. And I said, well, what did they tell you when they tested you? And she got this from a Kaiser medical doctor. And she said, oh, they never tested me.
Oh. That's even more shocking.
She just went in there and these are the symptoms she had, and okay, well, you need a patch. It's like, oh, okay. So maybe we should do this Dutch test and find out where you are
right. And
do things accordingly.
Yeah.
So that would be...
Other than that, though, there's not any serious, well, she would be having problems if there were something really not agreeing with her. But other than that, she's not in some real detrimental course if I can't get back with her again.
Well, like you said, did she tell you at all what the signs in her body were beforehand?
What she was a typical adrenal fatigue, exhaustion, peaking early in the day and dropping off around 1 p.m, not sleeping well, you know, just the general. I didn't get to talk to her very clearly. She
okay.
just glazed.
She has no it. Upset stomach. I don't know how old she is. Is she still menstruating? Her blood pressure?
Yeah. It just seemed like she appeared quite healthy.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess she's maybe in her 50s. I'm just guessing.
Okay.
And she just thought it was kind of annoying to still be doing this, but she felt good. So she figured, well, maybe I just have to do it the rest of my life. And I'm thinking,
definitely want to test and see. But again, it comes back to, you know, why is this happening?
Right.
And adjusting those things so that, you know, oh, and there she is.
I can't help myself. Gotta put my two cents in. Okay. So we typically, there could be long-term because you're giving a hormone, right? That your body's right. supposed to be making. And over time, what it does is makes your body lazy. And what we're trying to do with hormones is to stimulate the body to make its own, right? So not knowing what dose she's taking, like we use very tiny micro doses, like physiologic doses.
Right.
Kaiser Permanente might have her on 50 milligrams of pregnenolone, 100 milligrams of pregnenolone.
Yeah. I don't know yet.
Of DHEA, right? So not knowing with physiologic doses, like you're just trying to fill in the gap a little bit. You don't run into much problem, although you can. I've had somebody who's taken physiologic doses of pregnenolone and it actually raised her thyroid and she came up looking like hypothyroid and it took a while to get it back down. So it gets problematic. Anything. So my approach to it is people take. And here's how people take supplements. They take them. They get tired of taking them. They feel like they don't need it anymore and they just stop. So I always feel like we want to, the same way we wean people up on them or we titrate people up, we wean them down. So if you go back in, and I even described this in the adrenal cafe program, what do you do when you've gotten a test result and now you get another test result? Your test result still shows that you need it. Then you continue to take it, but it's starting to, it's getting better. I wonder if I can drop the dose a little bit. So you go maybe 25% of one of the hormones, not necessarily both at the same time, because you always want valid information. You want to be scientific. Mm-hmm. So say she's doing it. For me, I'd rather get her off of the DHA first because DHA is a downstream hormone, right? An upstream hormone is like, it's like giving it a building block. So pregnenolone, the body can turn it into whatever it wants to turn it into. DHA, it has less choice, right? And then you get all the way down to estrogen and there's less choice, right?
Yes.
So we always want to give the highest level to give the body as much control over what it's going to do with that substrate. And then you don't run the risk as much of overwhelming certain pathways and coming into excess. So that would be what I would be concerned about. For some people, super sensitive to DHEA and they'll start to get whiskers and they'll start to get hoarse voices or they'll get acne. So you look for androgenizing male attributes of a female person as a possibility. But always recommend the testing. So go back.
Right.
You recommend that she get tested again. And sure, if she wants to wean off of it, if it's showing that everything's fine, don't stop it completely because you may need a certain amount of that to keep it fine. If it's moving in the opposite direction, like you were treating a stage 3 adrenal fatigue and now it's a stage 1, maybe we're giving them too much, right? It's common to see somebody go from a stage 1 to a stage 3, right? Overstimulation into wear out. But the other way around, you want to look at exogenous causes, whether it's, you know, complete change in her lifestyle and stress, or in this particular case, like the hormones coming from outside. So that's what I would recommend. A Dutch would be good, or if she had test before doing that again, if she doesn't want to spend the money on the Dutch, but definitely look at that because there can be definite negative side of taking it.
I hope to get back in touch with her so I can work with her and straighten this out.
Good call though. Good judgment call that you were going, hey, wait a minute. There's some problem here, right?
No, this should not be like this.
And some people need to take it for long term for whatever reason, right? Is broken or whatever, but I think you just want your right to be concerned.
Thank you.
I'll go back to the wall. I couldn't last even one question, could I?
No, turn it off.
Right. I'm trying to get what I'm really trying to do. I'm not trying to save power because I'm plugged in. What I'm trying to do is get a bunch of stuff that I need to get done before I leave here tomorrow done. Before my power goes out, if it goes out. So that's really what I'm trying to do is just get a whole bunch of stuff done. So I'm listening in the background while I'm working on, you know, back end fixing the ERC site and all that kind of stuff. So
okay.
You'll probably hear from me again because I generally can't help myself. But Lynn did a great job.
Yes, she did. Thank you. Thank both of you.
Okay. Thanks. All right. Great question, though. And, you know, that stimulates all of us to start thinking when we talk to people. You know, they come in, and that's why a really good health history is so important. Even if you're doing like a strategy session, if you give out a strategy session form that people fill out ahead of time, having questions on there, that will be those good conversation starters to ask about testing haven't or have done, what they are taking, how long they've been taking, the dosages they take, what is along with what are you eating, and what are your other lifestyle pieces with movement and exercise. Having those questions are the part that are really going to help you be that master detective. And
yeah, as soon as I can get a hold of her again, it was like a parking lot conversation.
So, there you go. Well, good for you.
So, we have contact information, and if I don't hear from her, I'm going to go ahead and initiate a conversation so we can do something. But yeah, this was kind of in passing.
Well, and those are the ones, though, sometimes we say, oh, it was just in passing, or it was just a conversation, or just something I heard. Pay attention to those, because those are the ones that may end up being the most impactful. Those are the ones that could be turning points for you as your business, with your business, and for that person. And then who knows what shifts you make in their life, and who they're going to talk to. So it's never just one conversation. There's always a ripple effect that will affect the world, quite frankly. We don't see it that way.
Right. I can't help myself again. I'm sorry. But it was a casual conversation with me in a gas station with this guy who happened to be noticing what I read and started up a conversation, which any of you guys could do, right? You see somebody who's reading a book or is, carefully trying to select produce and looks a little confused, and you start that conversation. And that guy noticed it. And that guy has changed the course of my life and every one of your lives and every one of the ERC people's lives and probably tens of thousands of other lives that I've spoken to. Because I didn't know anything about cleansing, and I knew a little bit about fasting because I'd read the five-day allergy relief thing, but I didn't know about it as a cleansing mechanism. I didn't know anything. And this guy just said to me, oh, are you interested in health? Oh, and he had this conversation, gave me a card, told me a book to read. How many lives has, I just get goosebumps all over my body when I think about that angel, that person who has changed the course of so many lives, right?
Exactly.
So that could be you, and you may never know it, and that person may never get in touch with you, but just go running off. I wish I'd gotten that guy's contact information. I'd like to send him the card right now and say, look what you've done, right? So don't be afraid to reach out. That one word can change the course of somebody's life, and you could be that exactly what they're looking for and what they need at that moment. Yeah.
Yep.
So great. A conversation in the parking lot. I had to tune in because I got goosebumps from it.
Yeah. And that's a similar story for me. I was in college. Was some women's studies course, and it was a conversation with somebody before class officially started, and she had gone to this one kind of a wellness clinic. And remember, this is like, let's see, must have been 1982, 1981, and it was probably 2 or 3 years later that the name of this clinic that she said in passing came to me. It was Turtle Island Holistic Health Center. And I needed that at that moment because my oldest daughter, who's now 34, was always having upper respiratory infections. And the pediatrician was poo-pooing my questions when I said, you know, why is this happening? And he said, oh, you're a new mom. This is just kids get sick. Pretty sure not. And so I took his amoxicillin prescription and I threw it in the garbage and zinged through my brain. It was no coincidence, I'm sure, the name of this place that I'd heard in passing like 3 years before. And I went there and that's where I learned about, he was a chiropractor, acupuncturist, among other things. And that's where I learned about, for me, it was macrobiotics. And all the other pieces that started me on the path to where I'm at now. So there is no such thing as a casual drive-by conversation. Every single word, every single morsel that drips from your mouth is a gem. Pearls of wisdom. And we should, and I might say that with this mannerism, it's true. As we think about each and every word that comes forth out of our mouth to the person we're talking to, we have no idea the experience we are giving them. We can be aware of the experience we're having as we're doing it, but we have no idea the experience that they're having and how it will affect them and other people they come in contact with. You should have heard. I talked to Janet Books. It was amazing what she said. So, anyway, we wax poetic and esoteric. So if somebody has a question, feel free to open your line. There's also a raise hand button. If you click on your manage participants button, you should see next to more. You'll see where it says, somewhere in there. Yeah. Okay, Laura. I've unmuted you.
Hey.
Here you are.
Hey. Hi. I'm coming to you guys after a workout. How are y'all?
Good.
I had a question. I did the Dutch hormone cycle mapping test. And I was actually, so I got weird results, but it was basically flatline. My doctor came in and was like, are you tired? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'm tired, but not anything like more than normal. And he showed me the result and I went, oh my gosh. And then I remembered that I had had the injections in my hips. Like I had the injections on the 3rd and I think we started the testing on the 7th. And he was like, oh, if that's the case, if you had steroids, Laura, that's a normal, appropriate response to how your body is like responding to that, that the steroids are really hard on the adrenals. And, but it means my test is invalid. And I peed on the strips for 30 days and it's like a $400 test. So I was kind of like, oh my gosh.
Well, did you call them and let them know? Because sometimes they may let you run it again at no cost or maybe even a reduced cost. Because if there wasn't any instruction in there,
yeah,
with that, I would at least attempt that. I have heard of people who have gotten the ability to do the test again because they did something that wasn't on the instructions that they shouldn't have done. And
that's a good idea.
So, yeah.
I'll do that. I got a super bill to submit it with insurance to see if they'll pick up any of that cost. But that's a really good point. And so I kind of took that information. He was like, ultimately it's an invalid test.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't know exactly what your adrenals are doing with all this. I got it because I was getting migraines when I would travel, like every day when I was traveling, which is kind of weird. It did show that my methylation pathways were a little off. So we started like a B complex, a little addition into what I was doing with my multivitamin and stuff to kind of boost that up a little bit. So that was some helpful information that I took away from that. And we reduced my bioidentical progesterone to kind of, so we did a few things, but I guess I was kind of, I feel like with the healing, with all the stuff, I feel like I'm like 80% better, but there's still like this 20% that is still the fatigue and the daily headaches. And that's been the case for the past couple years. I have started acupuncture once a week, and I do feel like that's helping me tremendously.
Great.
Even with some digestive stuff, I feel like that's been a big benefit, but I feel like I'm doing well. Like I'm able to work and serve and like exercise. I've been getting a lot stronger. So I feel like I'm very functional, and my doctor said sometimes that last 20% can kind of be the challenging piece. And I know we're kind of working on Epstein-Barr virus stuff and a couple things, but I was kind of curious if you guys had any advice. My thought was give it maybe like 3 months of, you know, boosting up my B complex. And I just started.
Say Bs.
Yeah.
Thiamin. I don't, a couple of weeks ago, or I don't know how long ago it was, one of the clinical pearls, I don't know if you saw that, was the use of thiamin. There was a study done with somebody with cluster headaches. And so the study showed how he had no cluster headaches at all when he was taking thiamin. But the moment, you know, like within a day or so of him getting off of it, they'd come shooting back. Mm. So your B vitamins, that's a great plan to.
Okay, good. I want to make sure I was kind of like, I added in more adrenal support just in case. Cause I was kind of like, okay, ashwagandha and cordyceps and some things in my elixirs won't hurt. And then adding in like more with my Bs. And then I was thinking of just giving it like maybe 3 months for things to kind of reset and see where I am with the lower dose of progesterone and that, and then maybe retest then. And it's a good idea to call the lab and just ask, and maybe they would. It never hurts, right?
It never hurts.
Yeah. Laura, if I could encourage you to do that, I love the Dutch test, and I've called them many times, and they have a free online 15 minute with a doctor, one of their people on staff. Oh. Sometimes you can get in with them, and if you let them know a little bit of your history or send them an email with it. You've had so many steroids and been on so much so long, it would be normal for you to forget about it because you just take them so much. So letting them know your situation and that you are in Dr. Rita Marie's program or working with, they give so much. They'll give you all the information they know. They may give a partial credit. I've had a discount on one of them, on one of the tests that I had for one of the gals that I worked with. They're very helpful. They're very nice, very personable. So yes. There's some phone numbers right there on the sheet. You can call to get in touch, and the email address you can send to. So yeah, do ask them because they're very nice people.
Thank you for sharing that with me. I will.
That little new baby and that, your nephew. Those pictures are adorable.
Oh, isn't he cute? Little Ethan, he's starting to get little cheeks. And, he's such a sweetheart. He is such a sweetheart. I was worried that I did not get the TDIP shot that they wanted to get for pertussis, and I didn't do that. And I was worried that they wouldn't let me see him. And no, they need help. So I'm over there almost every day.
When you did that little oil thing on Facebook, he was just fixated on you. He just watched you all the time. It was just adorable.
He is such a sweet little guy. And that's another thing I was going to ask. He's colic, and my mom actually says that he reminds her exactly of how I was as a baby. Mm-hmm. He spits up a lot and he cries. And I do what I can with the oils, and I do feel like the oils are helping him. But he was a C-section baby, and then he's not breastfed. My sister was like, I'm not doing any of that. And I think he has dairy sensitivity. And my mom, I think he's got dairy and gluten, because I do. And my mom said the same thing, and we were trying to kind of say that to my sister and my brother-in-law, and they were like, oh no, no, that's not what this is. And I was trying to even say, okay, what about a probiotic?
Like, yeah, for infants. Yeah, I was going to say infant probiotic. Udo's has a really good, that's what I gave one daughter whose kids have the same thing. And the other thing, chiropractic. You know, my kids within a few days of being born started on chiropractic care. And that also really helps with colic.
That's definitely good. I need to ask. My sister is so Western. She's a physician's assistant and she's a nurse, and she thinks I'm crazy with my nutrition and my oils and my acupuncture and like all the things that I do. But she finally, like, she was very against even the oils and a crying baby all the time, and you're not getting any sleep. She was finally like, here, okay, let's.
You can.
Yeah, like, yeah, let's try this. So I like that idea, and I'll keep, like, I brought up the idea about the probiotic, and they were kind of like, and it's hard that I'm not the parent, but
see,
I just.
Thing. Yeah, I know, but there's so many studies showing how the microbiome with colic is so effective.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, after a while, you can only give so much white noise. You can only vacuum so many times. You can only drive them around so many times to try and get them to sleep, and it'll wear you down. And
yeah. And I can put oils on him and do almost like a little massage. And I can get him to calm down. And for me, it's heartbreaking because when he's spitting up, it looks like it hurts. I mean, it's like, oh, like it's coming out of his nose, and it's like, oh gosh, like I just, so it's tough as an auntie, but I will keep putting the bug about the probiotic. And I mean, I'm going to be watching him maybe like one day a week, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I could just like pull a bit of his bottle or yeah, like, but this is how funny, like they've asked us to be legal guardians if something were to happen to both of them. Yeah. And the constituent for that was, well, you have to let him eat a real hamburger with gluten and dairy and stuff every once in a while. Like that was in their constituents. So I was like, oh my gosh. Oh, so that's what we're working with. But
yeah. You know, you can make those the bread that Karen Osborne made on that 2-day event. I mean, that almost looks like a hamburger bun. And I don't know what to tell you with the burger part, but
I know I was just kind of thinking, okay, you know, we'll hold space, but it's funny, but yeah, I was curious to get your guys' take on the colic, and you know, I'll keep holding space, right, and keep making suggestions, and it's up to them if they're gonna listen to me.
Well, after a while, children have a way of teaching us. Susan, what did you want to share?
I just had this thought came to me, and I don't remember if I heard it from Dr. Tom O'Brien, but in reference to babies born C-section and not being breastfed, I mean, that's a double whammy.
Yeah,
and that
to immune system, yeah.
Importance of the bifidobacters, especially the bifidoenophagus.
Exactly.
So, I don't know if you could sneak that in.
Yeah.
But that I just had this.
That's in that Udo's. It's they're right. Just little drops,
and it's Udo's.
Udo's
like
Udo.
Okay.
Yeah, you find it in the refrigerated section of if you go to a health food store or something.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, is that right now this child doesn't have the correct gut flora in him because he wasn't breastfed. And so it sets him up for a whole variety of issues,
right,
possibly down the road. So I mean, it is pretty important, but
and
I don't know how you're
really looking at the formula to see.
Oh, gosh, the formula makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm. No, Dr. Rita Marie has that book. You can go on her site. It's on making a healthy formula. So you might want to look at that.
And that's on the website, like in our
MEP team? DrRitaMarie.com. Nope, just DrRitaMarie.com. She has her bookstore.
Oh, okay. I can get that there. Yeah, that would be good because,
I'll just chime in there for a second, though. The book is, but they have to be motivated to make it. That's the big thing. And it does take time, and it's, you know, you got to gather the ingredients and all that. There are some hypoallergenic formulas. So not knowing what, are they feeding them Enfamil? Or are they feeding them one of those
Similac or?
Yes.
Yeah. So even just switching to something like Good State. So before I developed my recipes, I used it. Yeah, it's still dairy-based, but it's whey protein instead of casein. It's got lactose. Mm. It doesn't have core. At least it didn't 24 years ago when I used it. But it didn't have the corn syrup solids that a lot of them do. And it didn't have – it had lactose, but – you can always give them lactase with it, right? You can always open up a lactase with it because mother's milk has lactose and it has lactase. So it's much more natural to feed a kid a formula that has lactose as the sugar than it is to feed high fructose corn syrup, right? But the difference is in the formula, it's dead, right? It's been pasteurized. It's been homogenized. It's been everything under the sun. And it doesn't have the, it doesn't have the lactase. They can always add a little lactase enzyme to it to help the baby digest it. But then most of them are casein, and cow's milk is basically 80% casein, 20% whey. Human milk is more like 20% casein, 80% whey. So that's a possibility. And there's also, if you look around for infant formulas, there are some organic infant formulas now. I didn't find a perfect one as I was looking, so I would still highly recommend somebody who's motivated to make mine. But and my two healthy boys were raised on it, never had any problems, never had any colic. They get sick once. They both got chicken pox when we sent them to the boys next door to play with the kids that had the chicken pox so that they would get it. But that's the only sickness these kids ever had. And they were not my biological kids. So they came from, let's just say, less than desirable pregnancies and you know, genetics. So I think it's very worthwhile, but they have to be motivated. Yeah. And most parents are not, don't have that motivation to do it. So if you can find them a formula like the Good State, which is just over the counter, but it's created for those kiddos that are more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And it might be worthwhile to look at that or some of the newer ones. I think there are some organic companies that make it that you can find. The problem I found with the organics was that some of them were soy. Not a good idea because the proteins are so big and they're not broken down. And my oldest son, he couldn't take soy at all. Mm. He would just vomit it. He could just look at soy and he'd vomit his head off. So we didn't give him that, but we did give him, this was a dairy-based formula. And, you know, as plant-based and vegan as I am, I gave him a dairy-based formula because I felt it was pre-digested and it was really much more assimilated and he thrived on it until I figured out how to make my own. My second kid didn't get that because I already had figured out how to make the formula myself. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful. Cause that's what happens now. Like I'll feed him and he'll spit up a lot, like all over all a lot. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this happening. Is, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So just recommend she change some formula. Since you're her wacko sister, don't recommend go as extreme as that, but try a couple of these. Say, look, we can try some of these other formulas that are intended. They're hypoallergenic. They're intended for colicky kids. And let's just have you try a few different ones and to see which works. And if not, I do have a formula that I can get you a recipe for where you'd have to make it yourself, but it'll take some diligence to get the ingredients.
Yeah.
So she may be open to that. This is her baby, right?
Yeah. And I like that because maybe if I just buy it and I have it there, because I know I'm watching him like once or twice a week. My mom's watching him a lot. And if we're there, we can kind of say, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, because my mom is like, this formula is not working for him. And like, right. We need to, yeah. So Thank you. That's helpful. Okay. So I will look into those.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your guys' advice.
There's lots of, you know, when I was a young mom, there wasn't anything. And now, I mean, there's lots of organic.
Yeah, but again, just because it's organic doesn't necessarily mean it's better. So it could still be, because some of them, I looked at them. I did look recently to give my niece some suggestions. Mm-hmm. And what I really came down to is, here's my book, try this.
Right.
Because I wasn't happy with any of them. Like, looking back, when I look back, I wouldn't have chosen any of those for my kiddos, you know, because I didn't. But for somebody who's willing to do Enfamil and feed their kids hamburgers on gluten buns,
yeah,
you know, we have to just be like we talked on our vital call earlier about it being a little bit like the bamboo and then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's challenging. It's hard to hold space. Knowing what I know and what I've been through with my healing journey, it's like, But
as a physician's assistant, conventionally trained, if she's still working that way, she's not necessarily, she's seeing you as well. You're not the picture of health. You're still struggling. So, well, you know, why am I going to listen to you, right? Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but I'm way better than I was. And I've had 2 hip surgeries. I was born with dysplasia. I have this, you know, weird thing. But they don't get it. Because it's a different world and a different mentality. And quite frankly, it's brainwashing. I'll just tell it like it is.
It is. That's how I feel. It is. Yeah. And I actually feel like Ethan's going to be the gateway to maybe make some changes in them, because they do have a lot of health issues and they're overweight and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm hoping that, you know, because if the pediatrician or somebody can show, hey, he's got a dairy sensitivity and a gluten sensitivity and stuff like that, that would, you know, babies have a fun way of being the gateway for that. And it's interesting how people won't necessarily change their diet for them, but they'll do it for their child.
And a lot of times it does take having somebody in that authority with that medical deity after their name to basically give them that advice. And then suddenly it's the same advice maybe as you gave, but they take it more seriously when it comes from that approach. So you might even look to see if there are any,
you know, Mihaela's here. Maybe she knows of some infant formulas as
well. After doing my research for my kids, so my kids were C-section babies and I was able to breastfeed for 10 to 11 months. And then after that, I couldn't. And so I had to find something. And so after all my research, what I ended up doing, I ordered some from Germany because Germany, they really do not believe in pesticides like we do, and they don't do as much harm to their food as we do. And so after all that research, I just called a friend of mine in Germany and I had her ship it over. Mm. And that's what I did.
Interesting.
That's pretty sad. I'm sorry that we have to do that.
That is.
I know. Because with my firstborn, I went to one of those like super expensive Whole Foods store in San Diego. And so what happened... By the time I had my second baby, I went to the store and the same formula was not on the shelves. And I was like, well, what happened to it? And they're like, oh, well, we discovered that the company is cutting corners in many ways. So we took all their everything off the market. So I couldn't even find anything organic or non-GMO or anything like that in a store that I really trusted, that they did their homework. And so that's, yeah. So yeah, it's sad. Yeah. I had to call it on a different country too.
So it's worth doing your research, you know, and just do some searches on infant formula, hypoallergenic, organic, non-GMO, that sort of stuff, and to see what you can come up with. But like I said, 24 years ago when I was in that space, we used Good State and it made a difference. Was that the ideal? No. If they were naturally born, of course I would have breastfed them. I couldn't understand why anybody would birth a baby and not breastfeed them for as long as you possibly can, right?
Yeah, but I don't understand that either.
But it's a lot. None of my sisters did. And I'm like, ah, wow. Doing. And now my niece, I'm so proud of her. She's working with us now. Her baby's 7 months old and she's like fanatical. She breastfeeds them. She pumps. When she was going off to work full time, she would be pumping and she would be very meticulous. Don't feed him every time he, you know, peeps. Make sure you take the diaper, give him some loving. It's not necessarily that he needs to eat. And then she's like, oh, wait, what do you mean you gave him a plum? You know, it's like, well, he's not ready. We weren't going to start that for until he was 6 months old. Don't give it to him at 4. You know, she's very careful. And I sent her a book called Baby Greens. You might want to look at that. And it just talks about how to transition kids, babies to an organic whole foods, plant-based meal plan when they start rather than teething biscuits and Pablum and all the other garbage that the doctors are still to this day telling people to give. Right. So it's just worth opening some, you know, we're opening the eyes for, but tread lightly is what I'd say. So you don't push her away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good advice. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Germany. Oh my God. I have a market for German formula.
I know.
Had your hand raised though. Did you have another question?
I do have a patient that's really puzzling me, so I wanted to see what you guys think I should do. So this patient has done, so I know she has some kind of autoimmune disease, but nothing specific. So her ANA was positive, but that's about all I know. I checked, she doesn't have Hashimoto's, but other than that, I don't know what could be the cause of that. I mean, what autoimmune disease she might have. Now, she believes she might have lupus, but what test should I use for her to give me that? Does she have lupus or not? Because she's really fixated in her mind. She's done some research and she's convinced that that's what she has. So,
well, isn't the ANA, isn't that the positive test for those antibodies?
So it's one antibodies, but that's my understanding is that that's a general one.
Right.
So, you know, there's a positive thing, but you don't know.
So then there's the signs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's the rash. There's just different signs that you then, once you've got that positive ANA, then there's those signs that you look at.
I know Cyrex Lab does. They have like a general panel that will just give you antibodies against all kinds of organs. Mm. But that's kind of very vague and you will not tell me, yes, you have lupus. So the
Cyrex test, RA5, is an autoimmune antibody panel and they will test 37 different antibodies.
Okay.
So is there anti-collagen antibody? Are there intrinsic cell antibodies or parietal cell antibodies? Are there thyroid, rheumatoid, brain, CART? There's 37 different antibodies that they test for. So that will give you an idea. Lupus, ANA is usually what's done for lupus when it's in a high level. So I can't remember if it's above 1:300 or 320. I don't remember the exact numbers. I think at a certain level, you're pretty certain that it is lupus. In those lower levels, it could be something else. You oftentimes get ANA elevated with rheumatoid. So if they haven't done, you can usually rule it out by doing other antibodies. So you can go, right. Oh, an RA panel. Okay, that RA is negative. But then again, like Lynn said, it's symptoms. You know, you look for the malar rash, you look for joint pains. And the thing about lupus is it's multi-system, right? You're going to see collagen, you're going to see everything. Yeah, you have something to say? Go ahead, Susan.
Hi. It's very easy to order a lupus panel. That's usually the next step in conventional medicine. Insurance usually covers the cost of a lupus panel, and that'll give you other biomarkers like scleroderma, your complement, I think it's C3, C4 as part of the lupus markers, RA, a number of other things. So that's actually a pretty comprehensive panel. And, you know, my ANA was not too highly elevated, but in fact, I ended up having a slightly elevated numbers for both lupus and scleroderma. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just, you know, right at the edge, but it started to put some pieces together for me, and I never displayed lupus in the classic way of the butterfly rash. Years ago, I had an outbreak of a red rash all over my body. I looked like the Elephant Man. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Of course, it was triggered by high stress. And it went away and it would come back. I began to identify that it would come back when I was stressed. Now it shows up, in soft tissue, right? So it shows up in different ways. It's very tricky, and scleroderma and lupus symptoms in the early stages can be very similar.
This patient that
Sjogren's is a part of that too.
Yeah, Sjogren's is also a part of it.
Yeah, Raynaud's, fibromyalgia. There's a DNA test too. That is something else to consider there. It's very specific lupus.
So that's worth doing, you know, just as a conventional insurance thing, and then that could lead you to further out-of-pocket testing.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think she has insurance, but I'll work with her. But this patient has a lot of heart pain, like she can't lay down on her left hand side. So for a while I thought that she's panicking. So we went with like B6, like trying to address anxiety. Then she wouldn't do anything for her gut. So finally I convinced her to take some acid and some enzymes, and that helped. So after a while, she didn't have any of that heart pain. She even ended up in emergency room and they ruled out anything wrong with her heart. And now she's describing the pain differently, and she says it's kind of like, it started like it was a cramp, but now it just feels as if somebody just beat her up all over her chest. Like that's how she feels. And so I don't know what to do for her right now while we determine what are we dealing with. But
So the heart pain, you know, that showed up for me. I was in the emergency room. You know, they did all the examinations and, you know, so possibly pericarditis, later on maybe costochondritis. In any case, these are all things that I think are related to autoimmune. Mm-hmm. And I find the most comforting thing for these types of flares is comfrey cream.
Okay.
From Germany.
Speaking of Germany.
It's called Trauma Plant. You can order it on Scamazon, and it's very, very good.
Scamazon.
It's very good for these types of pains, and honestly, it's the only thing that works.
Okay. What was the name of the cream?
Trauma Plant.
Plant. Okay. I'll have her order it. See, because I think she's just getting very anxious about the whole thing, and rightly so. Okay, thank you.
Can I just add a couple of things, right? So she is definitely concerned, and there's definitely some autoimmunity going on, and it's attacking the DNA, which is, you know, critical to survival, right? So it's definitely important. For the pain, you know, when you say chest pain or heart pain, you want to differentiate organic pain versus musculoskeletal pain. And so there's ways to do that and differentiate breathing deeply. Is that aggravated? It could be like Susan said, a costochondritis. It could just be subluxations in the thoracic spine. I had one patient years ago when I first started in practice, and she came to see me after she'd spent tens of thousands of dollars on all kinds of testing for her heart, her lungs, and all that. They couldn't find anything. I found subluxations in the area of, I think it was somewhere between T6 and T8, and I adjusted her. The first time I adjusted her, she was worse, and she freaked out. And I said, actually, that's a good sign. Let's have you back in tomorrow. We're going to do it again. I did, you know, ultrasound and tissue work and try to get that down. Within 3 adjustments, boom, gone forever, right? After she spent tens of thousands of dollars, she spent $150 getting 3 adjustments, and she was done. So you do have to rule that out, right? Because heart pain, it's organic. It's not going to be affected by touching or moving. So we have to just be able to differentiate that. But either way, right, we know she has an autoimmune disease. Mm-hmm. Do you really need to identify what the autoimmune disease is to help her get in balance? You don't.
Right.
Yes, she can spend $600 on a Cyrex Array 5, or she can get this lupus mm-hmm. advanced testing, which if she doesn't have insurance, is probably going to be a pretty hefty fee. Or you can just go, what do we do for people with autoimmune disease? They've got some sort of, they have a leaky gut for sure. We know that. Okay, we're going to work on her leaky gut. They have some sort of stress that was a mitigating factor. Is it a viral infection? Is it heavy metals? Is it a situational type stress? Was she exposed to something? So you want to look at what that is. And then a genetic predisposition. Other people might have those too, but without the genetic predisposition, they may not develop it. So the autoimmune will usually develop in the compromised area, the weak link, basically. And that's usually determined genetically. You may have a weak link in your heart. I may have a weak link in my lungs. Whatever is going to be attacked by those stresses. So start with working on her leaky gut,
okay,
right? And let her know you want to determine. It's always nice to get testing, because then you can see if it improves. Medicine will tell you, you know that. You went to pharmacy school. You never see improvements in antibodies. They don't go away. You're stuck with this forever. BS, big time, right? I've seen it over and over and over again. Argued with lots of medical doctors about it because they've never seen it. I'm like, but you've never seen it because you don't know how to treat it. You were never taught. I can share with you how to go about this, right? So that's the pieces that I would work on. Get her off the gluten, get her off the dairy, get her on the 6 food elimination diet and just say, do this for 2 months. And that can make a huge difference as well.
Okay.
The other thing is magnesium, mm-hmm. Epsom salt baths, mm-hmm. magnesium lotion. And speaking to what Dr. Rita Marie was saying, I would literally, you know, poke around the heart area to find out whether it was muscular or not. And sure enough, the stressor that would set it off for me would be backbending. So mm-hmm. if she's doing any kind of physical activity that's taxing that area, that's another thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And rib subluxations, that could be costochondritis or inflammation. But if you start poking and you find this one spot and then have her do a deep breath and mm-hmm. see if it gets worse, that's a sign of a single rib subluxation. But then when the intercostal muscles in general get aggravated, get inflamed because of, like, you're doing more of a generic thing, a back bend, right? So then you're going to feel it in between. And if you start at the front. Let me turn on my thing so you can see me. You start in the front, right? So you start at the sternum. And the first thing I look for is tenderness in these intercostal spaces right at the sternum. those are okay, then you start to just work your way out. And you can actually work your way out and around, okay, knowing that the way the ribs go is like, you know, it's at an angle. You just go in those spaces and see, maybe in the front, maybe in the back. A pain, a subluxation of the rib in the back can create the pain in the front. And that was what was happening to this person. And it clearly resembled an internal organic problem, because she had all kinds of doctors running very elaborate and expensive tests to make sure her heart and her lungs were okay, when indeed it was just that she had rib subluxations, thoracic spine. I mean, and I think in her case, it wasn't even specifically the thoracic spine. You know, you got the thoracic vertebra sticking out here, and then there's the attachments, and then there's the ribs coming out. And all you need to do is have that be a little bit torqued, then the pain is unbearable. It really is unbearable if anybody's ever had that happen. So that's the kind of stuff that you could do. Good point, Susan. But really poke. You can poke, or you can have her poke and just say, oh, wow, you know.
Yeah, like, it's funny because the doctors never touch you, you know.
Here you are in medicine. No touching allowed. Don't smell the person. Don't touch the person. Don't listen. I mean, we learned very extensively how to listen, how to auscultate at every single spot. You put the stethoscope on and you put it between. You have them do various movements and breathing and pounding like that. I don't think they teach that anymore.
No. Then they send you home with lorazepam.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get really worse. We have a guy in ERC. One of you lovely people will have him in your group, but he is a product of medical malpractice in pharmacy, polypharmacy, that has created muscle. He's basically, his muscles and tendons are falling apart from putting together three medications and nobody checked to see that there were interactions between them. Sweetest guy. He really wants to get well, but he's at a loss. So we really need to be firm with people and say, look, these are the kind of things that can help. And this is the kind of side effects you could have by going down that medical route, because they always think that that's the easy way out. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the easy way out. I don't want to do what you want me to do, because it requires me to go in the kitchen and make food and give up my favorites. And okay, you can do this, but here's the risk you run of these horrific side effects. And yeah, it's a rare side effect, but if it happens to you, it might as well have been 100%.
You're a statistic.
Mm-hmm. You're just a statistic. Like all the kids that die from or get autistic from immunizations, and nobody wants to believe it, right? It's only a small percentage. If it's your kid, it's devastating. Yeah. And we all know kids. We all know people into, right? We all do.
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to mention regarding the autoimmune and all the components that Dr. Rita Marie was talking about is low dose naltrexone. If it's, you know, if it's something that's not getting better, it's so low dose, it's 4.5 milligrams. It's naltrexone, it's compounded. I don't recommend taking it orally. I recommend transdermally because it can be very hard on the liver. But that's, you know, it's one of those things where, well, all the women in my family take it, right? Because we all have autoimmune and we just take it as a safety. It's not a magic bullet, because you have to do all the other parts, right? But you know, it doesn't hurt to take it, especially if you're doing it transdermally. And then speaking to the gentleman in ERC, my, a student of mine, her partner just had heart surgery because he's had complications from Cipro. And I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I didn't even recognize him. He looked like he aged by 30 years. Yep. So sad. And she's a doctor.
It's like medicine. The medications are the last resort, or in life threatening, right? Somebody's got a raging 106 fever and they've just been exposed to, you save them, but you don't save them and just go, okay, go on your way. You have to be applying, like with the low dose naltrexone, a lot of people are just using it as like the miracle cure. And they're not looking at getting the person on the low allergen diet, getting the person to look at what other stresses, maybe mold, maybe heavy metals, what's the mental emotional stress. If you don't, then you're just taking a Band-Aid. But yes, it could be a good adjunct to mm-hmm. it, especially in the beginning, to give them some relief. But I've had lots of people who have gotten nothing from it, like nothing. It doesn't do anything for them. And other people who it's a miracle. Like yeah. it helps them to function well enough to be able to do the lifestyle changes. Because that's another thing we run across a lot. If you're not functional and you have this long list of lifestyle things you're supposed to be doing, you're like, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah. There's a show on Netflix called Afflicted. Have any of you seen it? Because mm-hmm. it's Peter Osborne's one of the doctors featured in it. And, you know, it goes through the timeline of various people that have chemical sensitivities, Lyme disease, really tough cases. Not once do they talk about nutrition. So, you know, here they are, you know, interviewing these people about what their illness is. They've got, you know, cupboards full of supplements and tinctures, and they're eating, you know, French fries and hamburgers. It's so outrageous.
Outrageous. The first question, I just heard Michael Clapper speak last week, and he's really like, you know, very strict on the nutrition. And he says, what's the first question I ask every patient that walks in my door? Hey, Ray, tell me more about that. Oh, what are you eating? Okay, let's work on what you're eating. And that's what the biggest mistake I see in functional medicine. I'm surprised Peter's big about no grains and no gluten. But if you really look at like the functional medicine, a lot of the allopaths who go to functional medicine bring their thinking with them. They don't have a whole new mindset about let's go from allopathic, like this for that, to functional, which is everything works together and how do we improve the underlying and restore balance? And they'll go to, oh, well, let's use low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune disease instead of prednisone. Oh, well, let's just use black cohosh for hot flashes instead of whatever. Let's use bioidentical hormones because the person has hot flashes rather than going deep. Yeah, you may want to use that stuff. I'm all for it. But talk about what they're eating. Ask them what they're eating because it's critical and it makes such a huge, 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 huge difference. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our hardest job is getting people to understand that the nutrition and what they eat is critical. Right?
Yeah. Well, so I met with the gynecologist, right, that wants to work with me and went over her diet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the woman is a midwife. She's a GYN. She knows her stuff, right? I can't tell you how exhausted I was after that appointment. Mm-hmm. She just flat out said, I'm not going to change what I eat. And, you know, what do you do with that, right? I mean, she was just adamant about it. But then she would say, well, at the end of the appointment, well, what do I eat for breakfast? You know, because we talked about intermittent fasting. She has major insulin resistance. So she's starting to ask the question, but it's so hard when you've got this person sitting in front of you I have never heard anyone be so emphatic about food, you know, and it's like, you know what, that's okay. Just start with the intermittent fasting.
So here's what I would say. And you asked, so it might have been a hypothetical question, but I'm going to give you my two cents. And it goes back to when we've been doing this work with Laura Fine. And which is it? The third one? Is that the one that everything's an objection, right? Yeah. Louisa's shaking her head, right? That pattern, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. So in my case, you've got to knock them out of that, right? So if they've come to you because they're desperate and they really want help and they don't see that they're getting it elsewhere, I just say, look, I totally get it. Changing your diet is hard. I was addicted to food myself. There are a lot of favorite foods that I'm not giving that up until I realized that what I was giving up, rather than giving up this food, I was giving up my sanity, my health, my freedom, right? And you can throw back, hopefully if you've done this, you know, the way we recommend is you know what their big why kind of thing is, mm-hmm. what they really want. So you throw it back. For me, it's freedom. So if somebody's throwing it back to me, like really, you know, it really comes down to you can give up your M&Ms or you can give up your freedom. And mm-hmm. I'd go, oh, or you can give up your family, your M&Ms, or you can give up the quality time that right. you so desperately want with your children and then their yeah. children for a lifetime of joy. And you've got to make the decision. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, because I don't want us to get too far along and I don't want to mislead you, but I don't know of any way to get you the results you want unless you change your diet. Mm-hmm. So if you want that, you can, you're welcome to go find somebody else to work with, but I don't have it in my bag of tricks. I don't know how to do it. And I'm going to be perfectly upfront with you. If you don't change your diet, I can't, I don't think I can help. And I'm not telling you have to change it overnight. I'll work with you. But if they have cancer or autoimmune disease, I'm going to tell them, I'll work with you to slowly change your diet. But here's the thing, and here's the risk we run. You'll be dead before you make enough of the changes for it to work. Or you'll be debilitated and crinkled up before you get to make the changes. So if you have autoimmune disease, you have cancer, I recommend you rethink this and we jump right in and I'll help you to make that transition and I'll help you to make it easier. And I'll find out from you, what are all your favorite foods that you don't want to give up? And I guarantee you, unless it's angel food cake or lemon meringue pie, I can find you an alternative that's going to taste good and is going to be healthy for you. Mm-hmm. Let them, and you're like putting it on the line. And one of our coaches, Steph, did this with one of the people that she was working with last year, turned her around. I mean, no, she's not perfect, but it got her to stop whining and got to think about doing this. And Steph felt uncomfortable saying, look, if you haven't given up gluten by the time we come back, I will refund you for the unused portion of your program out of my own pocket, because she paid me out of my own pocket because I can't help you. Boom. Turned her around. She, not only that, she signed up again for this year. So we need to tough love. As hard as yes. it is, so much of it, so many of us want to just always be there for them, and we can do it kindly and we can do it with love, but we got to let them know our limitations. And if they're not willing to change their diet, nothing in my toolbox is going to overcome it.
Yeah. Well, we identified her why, her big why. And we also identified the fact that her parents both died of heart attacks around the same time, that around the same age that she is now. Right. Yep. And so she knows that she's playing with fire, but there's this, you know, real stubbornness, and she had to let it out. She got it out. And then she sent me a flurry of emails and text messages apologizing and hoping that we could work together. But I think I was just genuinely shocked, because she's not just a typical GYN. She's a midwife. You know,
a little bit alternative there.
Yeah. You know, and so I was really surprised. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that. All right. Yeah. I'm going to go back to quiet. I'll let Lynn run this call and I'll just jump.
Right. I can't hear you.
And I don't mean to hog the call, but I just want to say I have two clients with Lyme. And if there's anyone on this call that have worked with clients with Lyme, can you let me know? I might reach out.
Is Laura still here? Laura, are you still here?
Laura?
Laura Reish, she was the one we were, yep, she's still here. Laura.
Yeah, sorry.
There you go.
I'm here.
Laura's quite the expert on Lyme.
Okay.
Yeah, from personal.
Okay. Did you catch it early?
No. So I went undiagnosed for...
Then maybe that'll help if you guys can hear me better. I went undiagnosed for about 11 years.
Oh, God.
Until we figured out what was going on. And it was a journey. And to be honest, like, I did Lyme treatment for, I don't know, like 2 years, worked with a Lyme literate medical doctor, and I went on Cowden protocol and they did a lot of things. And honestly, Cowden made me really sick. I knew antibiotics weren't for me because the other doctor in Dallas wanted to put a port in and start IV antibiotics, and that just wasn't for me. Like, I was like, absolutely not. So we did the Cowden protocol and like the herbal tinctures, and it was just a lot. I mean, I was so sick that I couldn't function or work, and big, like my skin started sloughing off. Like, it was just bad. So I stopped traditional Lyme treatment, and I personally just went back to basics of, you know, like you guys are talking about, hydration and Epsom salt baths and infrared sauna. Coffee enemas, I think, helped me significantly, I still do at least 2, sometimes 3 a week now. Essential oils, the nutrition, getting my nutrition on point, and then starting to meditate daily, have a gratitude practice. Like, I got more out of the, I started doing things that felt good for my body, I guess, because the Lyme treatments, it just got to where I couldn't function. And so I did stuff that filled my tank and brought me joy. And I feel like that brought a lot of healing. But interestingly enough, I did an aromatouch technique. So it's like where they drop the oils on your back. Mm-hmm. And that would make me so sick. I would feel like I had a flu afterwards, but my Lyme doc told me to keep doing that until I didn't have that response. And so I would do 1 a week, and that helped. The third one that I had, I swear 2 worms came out of my stool.
Oh, wow.
And yes, it's very similar to raindrop. Yes. And, I think I even sent the picture to Dr. Rita Murray. It like freaked me out.
I remember that on my cell phone, probably.
It was crazy. And as from somebody who was eating clean for years, and to see that come out, and I mean, I did the testing, and LabCorp said that it was, what did they call it? Intestinal sloughing, something like that. My Lyme doc said that the veterinary labs are more astute for parasites than like LabCorp and some of these things. Even the tech at LabCorp was like, that's a worm. And I was like, like, it was a worm. And my doc said either way that like needed to come out. So I found, I mean, I kind of combined all those things. Acupuncture's helping me, chiropractic. To be honest, I haven't opened up that Pandora's box. I haven't gotten tested again for Lyme. I haven't really, my Lyme doc actually moved to California. But I feel like my functional medicine doctor is doing kind of a good job of staying on top of stuff. So I'm just doing, I don't know, that's probably not a good answer, but I'm doing intuitively what feels good to me right now. And I don't even like to call it Lyme. I actually don't even like to associate that myself with that diagnosis anymore. I'm just like looking at it as I'm bringing my body back into balance, and I'm functioning, and I'm doing work that I love, and I'm feeling better. And that's good. And I'm still working on that like little 20%, but I feel like, man, I'm so much better than like what I was.
So that, Laura, about not living, not going with the diagnosis. Cause I remember for a long time thinking that, you know, okay, like let's drop the identification with the disease. And that's what I teach people. Like, don't identify with it. Okay, so you've identified there's an imbalance. What are we going to do to restore balance? And like, instead of hitting the nail, like with this hammer, the sledgehammer, and causing other peripheral damage, you're actually looking at bringing the root in. And it doesn't matter if it's still there or not, because you can be chasing it forever. And a lot of people are chasing down forever.
Right.
Get rid of a particular bug. Epstein-Barr is another one, right?
Yeah.
Epstein-Barr. I got Epstein-Barr. Blame it on my Epstein-Barr. Blame it on my Epstein-Barr. When in reality, let's just restore balance. And yeah, there's specific things that can help more than others, right? Specific antiviral things. But it's really about restoring balance and creating a terrain that it's not going to thrive in. Or even if it's there, like some people say, well, I still probably have the cancer, but my body's managing it. Right? It's not going to shorten my lifespan.
Yeah. I stopped trying to fight the Lyme or the bugs or whatever. It was like, we're going to war. We're doing this. And I don't like, it was like, you know what? I feel like all of this, whatever it was, the challenges taught me a lot of stuff.
changed me in a lot of ways. And I started working more on the emotional and spiritual aspects of it. Yeah. And it was interesting that you say that, because in the beginning I needed that diagnosis because I felt sick for so long and I was being like written off by all these doctors and people start to think you're crazy. Yeah. And it was almost like, here, look, like I've got tests something. And these labs are positive and like, look, I'm not crazy. And then I was like, this is nuts. Like I got very intentional and very intuitive with my healing. And I did stuff that felt good. And I don't believe that you have to herx to heal or that you have to get so sick that you have to do these things. And I had like shirts that said Lyme and all this stuff. And I just got rid of them. I like donated them all because I was like, I don't even want that to be my identity.
Yeah.
And even as like a side note, this doesn't have to do with Lyme, but I had this rare sarcoma and this girl found me on Instagram with a hashtag, like looking it up. And she contacted me and she was just diagnosed. And it was so weird because I had a phone call with her today and I told her like, don't let them put synthetic mesh in your abdomen. And you need to find, like, I sent her the stuff like of who to see. And it was in that moment. I think so many times when we struggle, I was like, why? Like, why is this happening? Like, I wanted to know a reason of why I was so sick or whatever. And it was like, oh, like the universe just touched me today and was like, this is why. Like I realized that I was able to reach out to this girl and get her help and do those things because I'd lived that journey and I was the person for her that I wish I would have had. Mm-hmm. And it was like, so I'm seeing like the deeper healing and everything. And it makes me so like grateful for that. And even like with my nephew, like going through a lot of stuff and not having children. And I feel like such redemption in that. Like it's so healing for me to go and hold him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is the deeper work that I've gotten to. And I'm actually like, I've completely relinquished the outcome. I'm like, I'm okay. I am grateful. I can walk. I am strong. I exercise with a trainer twice a week and he kicks my bumper. I'm finally sweating again. For years I wouldn't sweat and I'm sweating and I'm seeing those things. And it was like, I'm grateful for what I have. And if this is, you know, even if I have the headaches and a little bit of fatigue, my gosh, I can still change the world. I can still go and serve. I can still like do things. So I was holding on to like this expiration date or this outcome of like, well, I've got to be better by this date. Or I was thinking if I still have pain, that's a failure. Like I'm not healed. And now I'm like, oh no, like I can kind of separate my physical body, that's not who I am. It's what I live in and I take care of it and I respect it. And I do stuff more out of love than out of fear. Like I used to take my supplements to try to get out of the pain or run away from the Lyme or, you know, whatever it is. And now it's like, actually, I'm just going to have this green juice out of like love and respect for my body. Mm-hmm. And it's like working with it more. Yeah. So
you got me teary eyed. Yeah, because I've seen you, that for a long time on this journey, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's been a journey. You've been with me a long time, Dr. Rita. You've seen this,
yeah.
But it's like that's the deeper healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Wow.
I just want to. So because going through Laura Fine's training has also brought me to a deeper understanding of sometimes what's the real true root cause of things. I know in some of the trainings we've had, people's postures have changed. Just understanding the emotional aspect of changed how they hold their body. You know, so yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that so honestly with us, your understanding, because it is so much more. We support each other, both, you know, our physical body supports who we are, the essence of who we are. So it's important for us to physically take care and nurture ourselves. It's actually a requirement for us to be who we truly are, to be our most excellent self. And because we can't show up without it,
And yeah,
I have to share something so interesting to you guys. I know you'll get this, but I, for my birthday, I wanted something to like track my steps and track my heart rate. And I was like, I'm going to try this Apple Watch. And we get to the store and I try it on the display and I felt heat like coming off of it. Like instantly when I put it on, I was like, whoa, this is hot. Like I am feeling it. And they were like, oh, that's the display. It's charging, blah, blah, blah. And then we got one and we went home and yeah, totally EMF Slim. Yeah. And we got home and I put it on again and I could feel heat. And then I started having neuralgia down my ulnar nerve. And that I haven't had since I was deep in Lyme treatment. And like with the tinctures and Cowden and weird stuff was happening. And I took it off and I put it on the other arm and it went away. The neuralgia went away. And then it started again on this arm. And I was like, oh my gosh. And my husband couldn't feel it. I was like, put this on. Like, do you feel that heat like coming off of this? And he's like, no, I don't feel anything. And we went to my birthday dinner and my sister, like nobody else could feel it. And I could feel it. And within 2 hours, I took it back. I was like, absolutely no. Like we're returning this. I cannot, this is not for me. This is not good. And my acupuncturist was like, Laura, this is one of your gifts. Like your energy field is so strong that you can tell when anything comes in, if it's not for you. And I used to think that all of that was like a weakness, but I feel like it's my strength in all of that. And that's something that was born, that was a gift out of my healing journey of tuning in and knowing my body so well that it's like, I can feel stuff that it just, other people don't. And I realize if it's affecting me, it's affecting other people. It's probably harmful for them too. They may not.
I just don't know.
Feel it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. That's moving because that's true that there are some people that are more sensitive to energy than others. But the issue is that it probably does affect everyone and it just doesn't show on the outside. Right. And so the body's just doing something inside to keep the symptoms from showing, similar to like cigarettes, right? First time somebody smokes a cigarette, cough, gag, do it enough. The body suppresses that external visualization of it. So you are in touch with that. And you, that is such a great gift because that allows you to know right away when something comes into your energy field, is this going to be good or not? And once you're aware of it, then you can understand when a person comes into your energy field. If you're feeling something, you can differentiate between you and them. You know, is this pain I'm suddenly feeling them, their pain? And that helps you to hone in on where they're out of balance. I remember having that happen when I was doing a lot of work with patients one-on-one for chiropractic. And I remember sitting there with someone and like suddenly I had this searing pain in my neck, like midway down my cervicals. And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck is that? Like out of the blue here. And then I reached down and I touched them there. And I was like, oh, that feeling was directing me to help someone where they needed it. I worked on that part of her neck, got it adjusted, and my pain went away. So really, anybody that gets that stuff, don't think of it as being a weakness. It's actually, it's a gift, and it's wonderful that you felt that.
I so have that, and I'm figuring out now how to get that information without physically feeling it. Like I do a lot of grounding because it's exactly like you said, like I'll go to the store and see somebody and then get like pain in the head. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, should I ask them about that? Like it's very interesting. Or even, you know, you just pick up, people don't have to say anything, but you just pick up like EBGB vibes. And you're like, I'm going to go this way. Like it's interesting, but yeah, I so resonate with what you said, Dr. Rita Marie. And I think that's part of my healing work now is learning how to, almost like building up. I feel like what I'm doing is building up my physical body to be able to like channel that better.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. I hear you on that. And knowing that, so you have these headaches and you only get them when you're traveling, right? So
I have the headache daily. It's like, it's all the time. It's left temple, but with acupuncture, it's gone down like a lot. Yes.
And then the migraines kind of come with travel.
So I'm just wondering if this is you picking up the energetics of when you're traveling, there's so many people, there's so many weird things. You're in the airport, there's so many signals going on. At a hotel, it's just definitely not the clean environment that you're used to. So I'm wondering if there's some of that you're picking up when you're traveling.
Oh, I'm sure. There have been times where we walk into a hotel room and I'm like, there's been a smoker in here. I can't stay here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you smell that? And my husband's like, no. And I'm like, it's cigarette smoke. And I'll call. I'll be like, hey, I thought this was non-smoking. They were like, oh, it is. But 5 years ago, that was the smoking floor. And I'm like, I can't. What was the non-smoking floor 5 years ago? Like, move me to that level. Like,
that level.
And it's interesting. And I see that connection with Ethan. I don't know how to describe it, but my nephew, like, I felt connected with him since before he was born. And I see him, like, when, like, on the changing table and stuff, he'll look up and to the left, like he's looking at things. And I just know that he's like looking at angels, talking to my grandparents. Like, It's so funny, but I see that in him. I see him as like a sensitive. And I guess that's why I'm so like mama bear protective of like, please give me a probiotic or something.
And he needs more of that. He needs that closeness and he needs to feel loved and secure. I had one like that. And he told me when he was 4 that when he said something like a 4-year-old should never know, like, and I looked at him and I said, how did you know that? Where did you learn that? And he said to me, just like point blank, I learned it in baby school. And I'm like, what do you mean baby school? You've been to pre-K, pre-kindergarten, and you've been to, or whatever they call it back then. And you're going to kindergarten next year, but what's baby school? And he said, that's the school you go to when you're still in your mommy's tummy. And my teacher was the heart. And I'm like, totally blew my mind. I will never forget that moment. I have no idea what he had said that I thought was so profound, but I still get goosebumps when I tell that. And he would come, he would have like profound things that said, this kid is, you know, he's sensing. And he had some difficult times as he was growing up and he went off to middle school and stuff and he picking up on other kids and it was challenging. So he needed a lot of support, which he got at home. But just know that as a kid starts to get troubled areas in their life, part of that could be this totally different world that they're picking up on, that it's not the physical realm, but they don't get it because they're too young and immature, right? Immature emotionally to get it. And that we can support them when that stuff happens. So keep close to him.
I remember when I first found out that my sister was having a boy, I distinctly saw my grandparents who are deceased holding this baby in this blue blanket and handing it to my sister and saying, this is our greatest gift to you.
Oh.
And I told her, you're having a boy. Yeah. It was like when we first found out and, I was like, it's a boy. And he was months later, we found out. But yeah, I just feel this, this very special bond with him. And I feel like, it's such a redemption for me because I get to have all of the fun and the snuggles. And then I get to give him back to his mom and dad. Hi. And I go sleep for 8-9 hours. So
yeah. Yep.
It's a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, even when he was a little tiny thing, you know, people who were more energy, like they see inner, says he's a very old soul. He is a very old soul.
Mm.
And he still is. He's, you know, wise beyond his years. Yeah. Yeah. Just, it's a gift. It is a gift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the other things I was going to say is, again, in Laura's class, I'm sure in other places too, they teach you how to protect yourself. There's certain things that you can do to protect yourself. I've actually been teaching it to my 16-year-old because she's an ambivert. She can be outgoing to a certain point
And then it's like she just hits a wall and she has to go into her room or some other quiet place and just ground herself down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so I've been teaching her how to, we call it the golden zipper, you know, zip it up so that she's mm-hmm. protected. And it's not that you don't feel other people's things, you just don't absorb them. Because that's what I had to learn to do for myself so mm. that, you know, like you said, you're feeling this other, and you're going, what's going on? And then you realize it's somebody else. And that's important for us to know, because most of us that do this work come to it because we are empathic to other people. So learning how to protect yourself is so important so that you can actually be more effective at helping other people. Because if you're not, you need to be that objective person. It's because otherwise you're almost more concerned with yourself and your own health, and you can't be as helpful to another person. It's good to understand what they're feeling so you can be better at helping them, but you do not want to take it on. And so anything you can do to help yourself and protect yourself is, it's going to make you more effective. My husband, and again, because we are so aware of how we feel, it's like everything, you know, you feel everything. My husband's always like, I thought you were supposed to be, you know, you're all so healthy and everything. You're eating all these healthy things, but you just seem to not be. And it's like, no, it's because I'm aware of what's going on. And it's, and so that I know what to do to course correct. And, you know, that's why I don't eat the things that I know will make me feel bad, or making sure I drink enough water and not drinking the Mountain Dew or whatever it is that he's eating. And he's like, I can drink all this stuff and eat this stuff and I'm fine. It's like, yeah, well,
maybe not.
I've seen your test results, honey.
A lot of times people will go for those sorts of foods because what happens if you get too clean, too pure, you are going to pick up energies. You are going to be more spiritually aware and energetically aware and all that. And it's a protection. They find that, you know, just go stop it by drinking Mountain Dew and eating M&Ms. And they don't know it. They don't know that's what they're doing, but it disconnects them. And there are a lot of people I know who are very, you know, ethereal and up in the air. And they will say, I can't do an all raw foods diet because it makes me too up here. I need something to ground me down and to stop that flow of energy because it's too much.
So, oh my gosh, yeah. Rita Marie. Yeah. Like all of this came in when I cleaned up my diet.
Yeah.
And yeah. When I went on like a juice fast, mm-hmm. I'll feel people's energy, but I was seeing things.
Oh, wow.
Like seeing people like outside my window and different things. And I couldn't do that. I was like, and I'm either hallucinating because my blood sugar is too low or way too much is coming in. And it was really weird. So that's interesting you say that because I've had experience with that.
Yep.
Clairvoyant, clairsentience, clairaudience. Yep. And you just have to learn the triggers for the switch. Much like with our genes, we know what flips the triggers to have something express. So, mm-hmm. yeah. It's just a wonderful life.
Yeah. And so there's so much more to healing than just knowing biochemical pathways and knowing nutrients and knowing foods. That is vitally important. And there's the energetic side and the emotional side, and that's vitally important. But when we separate them and we say one is more important than the other, or we just focus on the physicality and the biochemistry and don't look at those other pieces, or we just look at the emotional stuff and say that other stuff's not important as long as you have the energetics and the biochemistry put together, that's when we get into trouble. It's when we can really truly practice holistically and pull it all together. That's when we can really touch in to what the person really needs. And that's what we need to do. It's like, that's why it's so important that we do what we do and that we be open to other avenues as well.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, that's what I was saying earlier. We have an essence within us, but it requires us to have a body that functions and functions well, so that this essence, like Laura is talking about, can come out at its optimal best, so that we can be of help to people. If we're not taking care of ourselves, we're actually doing a disservice to people. Because this is something I struggle with, is that it's okay to take care of myself, that it's not selfish to take care of myself. It's actually a requirement and essential to take care of myself. I am now to the point of drinking 2 to 3 liters of water a day for me. Amazing. Yay. I have now exercised 18 days in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yay. So, Lynn, let's celebrate that.
But it's because I'm really coming to understand that I show up better when I take care of myself. And, you know, and I'm just emphasizing that because I know so many times we feel like it's not okay to take care of ourselves. Yeah. It is essential and a requirement. Absolutely. For you to take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself, you are supporting the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Yes, self-care.
Self-nurturing. I call it self-nurturing.
Nurturing.
Much
right.
deeper than self-care.
Much deeper, yeah.
Anyway, we wax poetic. Any other questions on this or any other topic? Feel free to open your line, raise your hand if you feel more comfortable with that. Show up.
Does that mean I should ask now, Lynn?
You can ask now.
About the ankylosing, how do you say ankylosing?
Ankylosing spondylitis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that autoimmune?
It is. Well, it's there's a genetic component to it. Mm-hmm. So there's particular genes that are responsible for it. There's some people who say that it's not curable. There's others that say that there are treatments that are showing up and coming on the way. So, yeah. So if anybody else has any...
Would I just treat it like just any other autoimmune condition, correct?
Yeah, it's not necessarily autoimmune, but it's inflammatory, right? So you've got the itis. The problem is, you know, it will form, you know, these extra bone pieces like spurs and growths on bones, and that can cause a fusion between sections of the spine, and of course immobility because of the extra bone interfering with movement. So it definitely inflammation. So we want to start with, okay, why is there inflamed? So yeah, there's a genetic, there are some, I think it's HLA-B27. Yeah. HLA-B27. See, I remembered from ages ago. So HLA-B27 is a genetic tendency towards it, but it doesn't mean right that you have to get it, that the conditions of the life have to be ripe for it. So all of the foundational things, like Laura said, you don't focus on the disease. When she stopped focusing on the disease and she focused on restoring balance, that's when she started to get even better results. So we start looking at that. What are you eating? What are you thinking? How are you moving? Yeah. Are you hydrated? How are you sleeping? we always start everybody with those questions. And yeah, there's specific things that you go, okay, with ankylosing spondylitis, there's some inflammation. You know, do we want to do COX-2 inhibiting foods or supplements? Do we want to look at ginger, turmeric, boswellia? You know, do we want to look at omega-3s and the balance between sixes and threes? So we want to take, like, it's inflammatory. How do we get that under control? I don't know that it's necessarily autoimmune, but I have a suspicion that it can be. It's related to iritis, you know, that's the irritation in the eyes. So I would certainly treat it as if it's autoimmune. That's what I would do. When in doubt, and maybe they haven't identified that it's autoimmune yet, let's just assume it is. So look at leaky gut, look at liver, right? Liver support. You can look at some of the genetics related to liver combined with their exposures, because with good
genetics. This is
genetics,
for me, so.
For you, okay?
Yeah, because right. I think it was on my MRI. I forgot if it's in my neck or in my shoulders. Mm-hmm. I believe it's pressure on my neck. And I think an older one, it may have been in my lower back. But I guess my mom has it, and so I was curious about it. And, of course, that's how I'm treating myself. I do still have a lot of inflammation in my left shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm 80% better on the right, but actually the left is down to 57. Mm-hmm. And I saw a specialist a few days ago, and to think that I had to have surgery on the left shoulder, but he doesn't want to do it. And so I have to look for some kind of ultrasound guided.
Do locally, right? You, I know you're doing CBD stuff, but can you do CBD oil on it? Can you do ginger compresses? Acupuncture is really, it's used a lot in knees when knees are very arthritic, where they do moxa with ginger, like ginger compresses, and then the needles go in and they heat them with moxa. Can be phenomenal, but even if you don't have that, you can do that with an acupuncturist, but you can also create ginger compresses and heat on it. Right. And that can be helpful as well. Creams, right? Comfrey cream, ginger. You can make your own salves. Take a ginger extract or ginger juice and mix it into coconut oil and then harden it. And then use that to get into the areas. You know, turmeric and ginger would be great like that. Look at your omega-3s. If you haven't done a blood spot fatty acid test, they're relatively inexpensive compared to so many others. Look at that. What is your omega-6-3? You may be having to really bump up your omega-6s and down your omega-3s. Yeah. And of course, your elimination diet, you know, 100% adherence to the gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, peanuts, do an elimination diet, and then start adding things back later as you go through that.
Yeah, because it's getting painful again. And I know I have a new stressor in my life, but it kind of started before that happened. So,
well, you've had stressors in your life a while. You had a diagnosis of cirrhosis. Yeah. So the liver is inflamed. There's some inability to break down toxins as a result. You've got the mold exposures that you've been going through recently. You've had a tremendous number of psychological and emotional stresses with family and all that, right? So it's really a matter of all that and you know, balance with it. And I know it's a juggling act, right? You know what to do, but you're not necessarily able to do it. I know, what's the serenity prayer again? I'm going to put it in terms of food. Control the things you can control. Accept the things you can't control and really have the wisdom to know the difference. And so the things you can control are what you put in your mouth, what you put on your body, and how you respond to the stress. What you can't control is how your mother acts, how your uncle acts, how your whatever situation is. You can't control that. And those are the things you go, okay, I can't control those. I can control this. I'm going to focus my attention on what are those things that I can't control.
Right.
I would recommend you looking at something. It's an Ayurvedic thing called Panchakarma. It's an Ayurvedic detoxification process. Because, you know, it is auto-inflammatory, if you want to call it anything else. And so, you know, your immune system is inflamed. And so this Panchakarma, it has a particular controlled food plan with it, massage, sweating, purgative things to remove toxicity. And so I just wish I could find someone around here to do it. But I would recommend something like that.
Yeah. Well, I see my chiropractor tomorrow. And last time he just did a lot of chakra resetting and cranial mm-hmm. sacral work and stuff because we had to wait 10 days to see where I'm at. And then, you know, I may need some more treatments because there's still pain lower in the arm, which the other specialist said is still coming from my neck. So I think there's still nerves being, you know, compressed. Cross my fingers. I'm doing okay though. I, you know, really the mental, mentally I'm doing a lot better.
So. Can I throw something out there? And this is good for all of you to use when you have people with chronic retractable pain where you're working on other things, obviously, as well. But the Korean hand acupuncture. Mm. Phenomenal because there's a chart. I have a chart. I actually gave the chart during that 2-day live stream.
Yep.
So,
with the hand, the poker?
Yes. And you just use the end of a pen. Like, let me open my thing up. You can even use one of these, like the little poker on a pen, or just get one of those etchable. What do they call those things? They're Yenim at Michaels, but they embossing tool. And you're basically poking, but you need the chart. If you look at the hand, it's mapped out. This is the head and the neck. The shoulders go up into here. The legs go up into here. Right. And so you find those spots and you can find it without even knowing the more than that about the distribution. You take something and you just start poking around and you go, oh, that hurts. All right. That's a spot. You get the little beads. You can get them on Amazon these days. Used to be, had to be licensed and had to go to an acupuncture supply place. You can get them on Amazon and they're just little pellets. Some of them are little beads. If you don't even have those, take like a chia seed. A chia seed's maybe a tiny bit small, or quinoa or millet. Actually, millet. Millet's probably the right size. So you take a couple of seeds of millet with a little bit of adhesive Band-Aid, and you put it over that spot. And then you periodically are going to be massaging it in, and you leave it in. You can leave it for an hour and do some work with it, or you can leave it on overnight. But if you do it once a day, you put it on for an hour would be one of the better ways to do it. And you find all those spots that are tender. And you may find a spot, the neck, right? Back of the neck, front of the neck. Okay? Right. Back of the neck, front of the neck. And you find that spot and you go, oh, okay. Oh, wow. If you actually look at the chart, you may say that's C3. Oh, that's where I have a disc problem. Mm-hmm. Right? I've done this with people. I've guided people to do it. I remember somebody who I gave it to in the office and she came home 3 days later. She goes, wow, that works so well for my neck. But now I'm having a problem in my jaw. So I said, okay, let's look at it. This is where she said, she poked around. She found a spot. She started doing it. The TMJ pain went away. So
you can just use a seed and tape it on there.
You can just use like, I think millet might be a good size. Quinoa and chia might be a little small. But that millet is probably the perfect size to put on there. And a little bit of like, Band-Aid color, adhesive tape. So you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in your local pharmacy.
I can do that tonight. Yay. Thank you.
Look it up. Go to the chart that I gave you guys. There's also a mapping. There's one side of the chart maps the body part. So anybody can do it. Right. And then the other part, the other side maps actually all the meridians. So you can find, if you know acupuncture and you're thinking, oh, I need to work on bladder 27 and spleen 6, actually spleen 6, stomach 36, large intestine 4, and liver 3. Four combination, they call it the four gates, but it's really amazing for reducing stress levels. And if you can just like find those spots on the hand without having to actually do it on the body, or you find it on the body. Large intestine 4, liver 3 between the toes, same place as large intestine 4, but on the toes. Stomach 36, which is the outer part of the thigh, about 3 finger widths below.
and out from the thing. You poke around, you'll find it, but you can look it up on Amazon, on Google. And then spleen 6, which is the inner leg about, you know, four finger widths up from the body. And that can help you, that'll help to reduce the stress, which can actually reduce the pain, right? Because we get so stressed out about all this pain. So I would look at those, and you can do it on the hand as well. So you don't have to walk around.
Because I haven't been sleeping well because of it again.
Four gates will knock you out. Four gates, what I just told you, plus one right here between the eyes. Every time I do that on somebody, they're like out within a second. And for me too, if they do it on me, I'm like
out. Just the pressure point there?
Yeah, and it's between the eyes. It's Shen, what's it called? Shen Tong or Men something. I don't remember the Chinese word for it. But it's kind of like if you follow your eyebrows to the middle and then you go right between them, it's right in the middle. Okay. And you could just try just holding it on yourself and see if it relaxes you and if it's somebody who's having trouble sleeping. But my acupuncture instructor used to say, these are the American points because you Americans are always so stressed out. We got to get you guys calmed down. So those four points, and you can do them on both sides. So you can actually have eight points, put the little seeds on them. A needle works really well. I used to carry my needles, but I sent them home with my husband because my suitcase was too full. But I carry them with me and I'll just stick them in and it works really, really, really well. Four gates. Look up four gates. Four gates acupuncture sequence. Okay. And Korean hand acupuncture. And I did give you the chart. I think I did. Did I give the copy of those charts? I'm pretty sure I did. I showed them. I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah. We got to put those somewhere in ERC, by the way. Somewhere on that site. I'm sorry. I keep getting involved in this was supposed to be me working and then handling.
Well, I think it is. It's on bioenergetics.
Oh, it's in bioenergetics. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I have to go. I've got to finish dinner for my mom.
Okay. Good luck with
it. Thank you for all that help. Okay. Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye. I want to stick the needles in you and make you watch you go down. It's good. I love it. Watching somebody who's like, oh, like, ah, and you watch them go. Very cool.
Yeah. Sorry. Now I'm reading it.
Lynn Rose says all diagnoses should be labeled idiopathic. Yeah, because nobody really does know. What was the name of the chart for the hand? It's Korean hand acupuncture.
Yeah.
Korean hand. And some of the charts are better than others. The one I have was actually, I scanned it. I love my chart. It was so good. I think the storm is blown over because those birds are out. It was really quiet before. And now the birds are going, ch-ch-ch-ch. It's like they were hiding. Mm. And now they're going, no, it's safe. It's safe.
Nice.
It's good. Really calm. Anyway.
Or it's the eye of the storm.
Or it's the eye of the storm. We'll find out tomorrow.
Yep.
You posted.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
This has been a great call. I really appreciate everybody sharing their honesty and openness. Mm-hmm. Because I probably not too many other places that you can share. So that helps me to know that everybody feels this is a safe spot, a safe space that you can share your feelings and your thoughts. Because that's really how we learn and grow, is as we are honest and open with each other. And to me, that's the beauty of this community, is that we feel safe in sharing our experiences and our thoughts and our perceptions from there. And because we do that, we all grow. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody as I share my way out and wacky ideas and thoughts and, you know, ideas that sometimes maybe the reason somebody is feeling the way they are is because there's a full moon coming or the planets are in such a, you know, you know, it all is together, but we all learn together. And so thank you.
And you can share anything that you think is wacky anytime, because that's where we truly learn and grow, right? It's not, there is no right way to eat. There is no right way to practice health. There is no right way to bring everybody into balance, because it's really a matter of the uniqueness of all. And when we can recognize so much, and so much more is being said about psychosomatic illness, and, you know, Bruce Lipton was talking about changing genes with the way that we interact with our environment. It's all there. I'm as wacky as the rest of you in terms of that. I'm as geeky as the rest of you. Like, we're geeks who love the science and love looking at the labs and love the biochemical pathways. But on the other hand, we also need to be addressing these non-seen pieces, right? The parts that we don't see the energy channels, but the Chinese have been using them, the Koreans have been using them, the Japanese, Asian cultures have been using these for way longer than modern medicine has existed, right? And it works, but it's not like any one of these things in isolation works for any, now may work for one person. I used to show this chart to people when they'd sit with me, and I'd have this little booklet, and I'd say, look, your problems can be structural. Your problems might have a biochemical component. Your problems may have an environmental component. They may have an emotional and mental component. And you may have the same exact symptoms as your friend. And your friend goes to the acupuncturist and gets amazing results, like totally amazing, and says, you have the same symptoms as me. Go to the acupuncturist and get the same results. And you go and you go, nothing happened, right? The big bulk of the imbalance in that person was the energetics. So the acupuncture addressed that. But you go to a chiropractor because somebody else says, and you get a couple of adjustments in your spine, and suddenly, like, you're better. Didn't work for your friend, it worked for you. And another one goes with the same symptoms to a nutritionist and gets better. In reality, we all have a different, a different combination, right? If you think of it as a pie, the pieces of the pie are going to be different for each one of us. And if we address all of it, we're going to address everything. And you may get better results by just the acupuncture. Uh-oh. Is that a... I hear a beeping. It might be the, like, I don't know, tsunami warning or something at the beach. But anyway, whatever it is, I'll figure it out. But anyway, it's that piece, right? And so there's people who are doing all the right things, but they're so stressed out. I got to get my yoga in. I got to get my meditation in. I got to eat this food. Oh my God, that's not organic. And so their emotional component needs to be addressed. So let's just keep that big open mind. Let's stay away from dogma and religion and all that stuff. Don't get caught up with the lectin diet and the oxalate diet and this person saying, I have the answer to all humanity's woes. Run away from anybody that says that. Yeah. This new therapy is the one that's going to save the world, right? I've seen this. People who have this energetic practice and they're going to do this body work thing and they're obese and they are not healthy, yet they're going to save the world with just this practice. I'm like, let's combine it and let's create that perfect flow for each person. Yes, it takes more work. Yes, it takes more patience. Yes, it takes more understanding and determination. But in the end, it helps.
Well, so it reminds me of way back, Semmelweis. He was thought to be absolutely crazy. In fact, he died in an insane asylum. And he's the reason why, especially women, don't die in childbirth anymore, because he taught the doctors how to wash their hands. All they had to do was wash their hands. But they thought he was disgraceful, because it was a badge of honor to be walking around with this blood and gore on you. And yeah,
he was ostracized. And in the future, the future people will be going, what was wrong with those people in the 21st century? Like, they were arguing that eating the right foods or staying away from, they were arguing about this stuff. They were nuts. Same way as we look at the blood letters, right?
which is coming back actually, but
yeah, I was gonna say.
We are embracing it. We're on the leading edge, and it's always lonelier on the leading edge, right? So, but just stay out there because we're leading the pack. And so that in several generations from now, everything we do is going to be mainstream. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want us to leave a legacy. That's why I want this institute to just grow and expand and be left to generation after generation and made better and better and better and better, because this is what's needed to change the world.
Yep. And we want you to be safe. You need to make sure that that wasn't an evacuation warning.
Yeah, I'll turn on the news thing, but I don't think it was.
Okay.
It might have been just an electric thing in my brain. I'll check it out. It's gone now. So okay. Yeah, I think if it was really a warning, it would have been going nutty. It's completely calm. Completely calm. There isn't even rain coming out. The clouds are separating, right? It's like, there's no hurricane coming. Well, I want to go down and swim, but I'm not going to. Well, I want to go down and get in the ocean, but I'm not going to. I'm going to refrain.
Okay.
I wake up tomorrow morning and it's bright and sunny and there's no more warning. I'm going down there because it'll be my last day.
Yeah.
And if okay. I get to be longer, it'll be frustrating because I won't be able to swim because I'll be stuck here in the flood. Right? Anyway, we'll see you all. Hopefully I'll see any of you who make it to the Vital Healing Kitchen on Saturday there. And it'll be a lot of fun. And I just love what we're doing. And I just love seeing the results of what we're doing and hearing your stories of the people that you're helping. And it just warms my heart. I'm gonna get teary eyed. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.